This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Two-point game, 6 seconds to go. Halliburton driving. He's in the lane. He nearly lost it. He backs up and unloads a three.
Oh!
That did not happen! It hit the back of the rim. It popped high into the air, and it dropped gently through the net. And the Pacers have, the scoreboard shows 125-125. It's called a two-point shot.
Indeed, it was a two-point shot. Foot on the line goes to overtime where Indiana wins it 138-135. Welcome to the show. Good morning, Pearl. And there was history that was made last night at Madison Square Garden. According to the Associated Press, teams that led in the postseason by 14 points or more with 2:50 left to go in regulation or under 3 minutes in regulation were 994-0. Until last year. That's the Associated Press, guys. Don't kill the messenger. I know this is a tough day for our guys, EJ and Manny, but we're going to get through it. Aaron Nesmith might want to put a body on that guy. Six threes in the final 5 minutes of the game, in the final, checked in with 5 minutes, six threes in the final 3 minutes of the game, plus two free throws. The anatomy of a comeback slash collapse, choke sign at all.
Oh, I mean, Maggie, I remember you saying to me yesterday, one of the keys of the game is the Knicks covering Aaron Nesmith 47 feet from the basket. Get a body on that guy. Where did that come from?
He had 10 points coming in when he checked in with 5 minutes left to go in regulation and scored 20 points from there.
He's not a three-point shooter. I have no idea. It's almost like there was some sort of body switch in movie style with Reggie Miller, and then I can't believe that happened. And there were so many little moments to break down. There's so many moments where the Knicks could have ended the game. I'm in shock. I do think we're lucky because we witnessed. If you didn't have a rooting interest, this game will be talked about forever, just like the Reggie Miller in front of Spike Lee game. We saw a historic NBA game, 30 for 30s, all sorts of things, NBA highlight reels. This was one of those games people won't forget.
Complete with, as you just heard from Mark Boyle on Pacers radio, which I should have said before, the ball hitting the back iron and going up into the air over the backboard, like higher than the backboard. That's when time suspends like the Matrix and then falls back into the net. Thought it was the game winner. The Pacers bench explodes, erupts. Turns out it was a two-pointer, so we go to overtime. And overtime was just kind of, you know, neither team could stop each other at that point. So gassed, you know, Jalen Brunson. It's just actually a variety of mistakes. I don't want to first just go to Brunson because the guy had, what, 40? I mean, there were mistakes that were made by all.
He scored like a dozen points in the last 5 minutes. I don't know, like, mistakes. He was cooking the Pacers.
I know, but
all night long, even in the end.
He was. Two big turnovers, though, in the final, 224. He was in foul trouble, though, so it kind of messed things up there. OT, I mean, I'd be curious what these Knicks fans, Manny is just, he's apoplectic. It's game
Manny's
one.
Wearing like six jackets right now.
Manny.
You can't hide,
but
Manny.
We need Manny like in a straight jacket, maybe, because I don't know.
I think he is in a straight jacket.
You look like you're in a snowsuit. If you're watching on YouTube or Twitch.
It's a cold, rainy day in New York.
Yeah, I know, because the basketball gods are crying, or they're smiling and laughing because of how Indiana has been able to pull out these insane games. Just a little historic context for Indiana. They've come back from being down 15 or more four times this postseason, tied for the most ever since 1997. They're 4-2 in those contests when they've been down 15. Who are you guys blaming? You can give the credit to the Pacers. They obviously were amazing. I think Thibodeau has to wear a lot of this. Mm. No?
Well, let me just ask you, is it a blame game or is this just blind luck? I mean...
No, the Knicks took their foot off the gas.
Yes.
Hart said that.
But Aaron Nesmith, like, that doesn't happen. That Tyrese Haliburton shot at the end doesn't go in. There is a little bit of wackiness to this. I understand, like, by blaming someone, you're saying something was wrong by design. And I'm not quite sure I see it. Like, they should have closed out on Aaron Nesmith. Like, that's not part of the game plan.
No, I know. But you also said there were so many different times when the Knicks could have put this away.
Yeah,
missed free throws that could have put this
away.
Missed a foul attempt on Obi Toppin that could have put this thing away. Why no one was guarding the inbounds in overtime, late in overtime, I thought was a mistake. They mentioned
guarding
that.
Guarding anybody on that play. They let a wide open sort of weird dunk by Obi Toppin. Who's, by the way,
all he can do is dunk. Yeah, well, yeah, he ever made a layup?
Since when is Obi Toppin good? You know why I thought the Knicks lost the game, actually? And I'm curious what you think of this. There was a stretch where Indiana looked so awful. There was basically Tyrese Haliburton shot two air balls in a row. Obi Toppin missed a dunk. TJ McConnell was getting cooked on both sides of the glass. And Ben Sherr, like, they looked bad. Yeah. And I actually said to myself, I mean, Cleveland must be killing themselves watching this team because they're not a high-level NBA team. But the pace was so fast.
Right.
And the Knicks couldn't slow it down. And then Pacers kept running despite, and they got down by double digits. But this was, we came in, a lot of experts said the Pacers wanted to go fast and the Knicks wanted to go slow. So what happened was the Knicks got exhausted by the pace. So is that on coaching?
Yeah, and I think they were settling for threes when they had the 14-point lead. It's like, these are the anatomy of the comeback. They're coming up empty possessions. And they weren't stopping the Pacers on the other end. And Nesmith obviously was out of his absolute gourd hitting six threes, which is just insane. I mean, who are you guys blaming?
By the way, you blame Jalen Brunson. I'm looking at
the shot. No, I'm saying Jalen Brunson had two turnovers. Of course, Brunson is the key to the whole thing.
He had a three-pointer with 2:51 left, hit a layup with 58 seconds left. Scored in overtime. I mean, he scored a lot of, he also did a lot of good things, too.
I mean, airballed a three, though, when they really needed it. I'm not putting the full blame on Brunson. He was in foul trouble. But by the way, they got the offensive rebound there, kicked it out to Towns, who short rimmed it.
That was a tough spot. I mean,
it's a tough spot.
They needed a three. That one.
Ananobi had a bad turnover.
It's just funny, and I get it too. Like, how can you blame Jalen Brunson? Scored 40 points.
Carl Anthony Towns missed a free throw, which is uncharacteristic of him. That would have put him up four.
It's a team loss. I mean, you guys are. I think you're not dancing around it, but I think you're naming all these things.
Like, everything bad that happened.
That's why it was a team loss, right? Like, I don't think it was all on Tibbs. Tibbs can't tell guys, hey, don't fall down when you close down on a shooter or play defense. Like, there's some things he can't control. Now, can he control when you need to get the ball in your best player's hands, not have OG on it, we throw the ball 30 feet into the corner for a guy, and the guy gets ball gets deflected? Like, yeah, he probably should have a better play out of a timeout. But he had some mistakes. Jalen Brunson had some turnovers. And I also thought, you know, the Knicks went on a 10-0 run when Brunson was out of the game.
Yeah, they did.
And Brunson came back in, and he did score. But he started getting into pounding the ball and pounding the ball and pounding the ball because I think he just wanted to kind of run the clock out.
Yeah.
And I think it almost gave the Knicks a false sense of security that the game was over.
There's still a lot of time left.
When they had McBride running the offense, he's not as creative as Brunson, but at least they were moving the ball. They were still playing like it was a real basketball game. That's the only way they can score. With Brunson, sometimes you get into like a false sense of security. He's like, well, he can just pound it and then he'll get a good shot at the end.
He did
score sometimes.
Yeah, he got fouled a lot.
Right, he did score at some of those moments, but I think the game kind of became, they're slowing down and they're playing at a breakneck pace to try to get you back in the game. I think the Knicks would have actually met their pace at the end of the game. A lot of that stuff doesn't happen.
I mean, Brunson scored 43 points on 25 shots.
He was awesome.
His effective field goal percentage is crazy high.
How many turnovers did he have, though? The turnovers were a killer.
He had
six?
Yeah.
Seven? Yeah. I mean, the turnovers.
And two bad ones, like late in the game.
Yeah. I mean, and the pass to OG Anunoby that he got fouled on, that should have been a turnover. He threw the ball nowhere. Like, he didn't know OG was there. He got lucky. And, like, Haliburton was like, where's the defense? That could have been a pick six. So, Brunson, like, I mean, he's Captain Clutch. He had some critical moments in that game, but it was a team loss. OG Anunoby and Josh Hart, I mean, the defense was just pathetic. I mean, Josh Hart gets beat on a back door when you're up one. OG Anunoby doesn't box out Obi Toppin on a top. Like, it's the game. It's game one of the playoffs, guys. Do you want to win a championship or not?
Well, I mean, big question. They think that they thought they had it. They definitely thought they had it, and that's not a good sign. And also with Josh Hart, the stuff where you're fouling, you know, with 4 seconds left in the shot clock, 6 seconds left, like, that's a killer. You know, you've already done the work. You've played the defense, and then to bail guys out with fouls late. I don't know.
I disagree a little bit, EJ. You know, and to you too, Maggie, like the Brunson thing.
Yeah.
If Haliburton's shot hits the back iron and rims out like it should have, then Brunson's the hero today. He's the MVP. I mean, the strong MVP. He dominated this game. I know he was foul merchanting a lot, but he dominated this game. They can't cover that dude. That's like, they absolutely, there's not a single player, and I know Nesmith did the best job, but they haven't, I kept yelling.
They threw everyone at him.
Do you know that he's a lefty? I kept wondering that. Like, why are they letting, he was, you know, controlling the offense like a puppeteer. So I'm not sure. It just seems funny to me. I know you're right about the turnovers, but he also played like an MVP in the same at the same time.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So I got a couple questions off of this game last night. First of all, you know, the Knicks had actually been the team coming back on teams, right? They're the ones who came back from 20 down twice against the Celtics.
Like historic.
The Pacers have been doing this all game, right? It's never over when it's the Indiana Pacers, ever. And the Knicks obviously found that out. But to be on this side of it, how quickly can they rebound from that to get this snatched out from under them and then have to, you know, try to get their minds right, bodies right, everything before Friday's game two? That's number one, because Pacers are developing a little bit of a boogeyman, a little bit, how they just never go away. And, you know, there was a moment last night when I looked over my husband, I'm like, that the lead was big for the Knicks. It was double digits. I'm like, there's just still 7 minutes left in this game. And it almost felt like there should have been 3 minutes left, but there was still like 7 minutes left. And then with 5 minutes left to go is when Nesmith came into the game, and then the whole thing changed. Do the Knicks have the mental and the physical? I'm not saying that Brunson doesn't, but the rest of the Knicks. That'd be number one.
It feels like the Knicks are going to win game two. Based on like this is when a road team wins a close game one in a playoff series, it's like, oh, the home team's definitely getting that. Because the home team's going to be satisfied getting out one. The road team's going to be satisfied getting out 1-1. But go ahead.
But we also said that about the Knicks when they played the Celtics. We're
said
like,
that
wow.
The Cavs.
Yeah, I know.
The Celtics, they're really going to come back in game two. And then
and the Cavs, they went down 0-2 to Indiana as well.
Yeah. And well, I mean, last year, right, the Knicks were up 2-0.
Yep.
Yeah, and then they lost. But I feel like you also learned last night the Knicks are a more talented starting five than the Pacers. I think that was clear. The better starting five is the Knicks. So that's why.
I think the better team is the Knicks. The Knicks pummeled them for 46
minutes. Yeah, the Knicks are like, the better team. You look at that.
But the Pacers have been doing this all playoffs.
But here's what I'll say, though, Maggie. I think, and I'm trying not to be Knicks homer here, but I feel like when I watched those games against the Bucks and I watched those games against the Cavs, those games were seesaw games where it felt like those teams never really had control of the game. And then the Pacers won in the last minute. The Knicks had control of that entire game.
Yeah, and they let go.
Right. So when I say that to say, I feel like I never watched those games against the Cavs and the Bucks and felt like the Pacers were not the better team still. I felt like this game is in the balance and these teams aren't putting them away. The Knicks were up 17 with 7 minutes left. Knicks, they put them into submission and then they just stopped playing. So I think the only silver lining, you say, well, this was a game where it clearly looked like the better team lost. So if we are the better team, are you able to then rebound? And that's going to be the big question. And I just don't know.
To be honest, though, we just said this about the Celtics, that they were the better team and they look like the better team on paper. And it was, well, if they just, you know, had played in the full 48 and they had control of the game until they didn't, we just did this. And then, you know what happened? Bleep happened. Guys got more hurt. Tatum got very hurt. You never know. And
the Knicks wear down.
And this is where, I know you're not being Knicks homer, and you got to call out the team when something like this happens. You're right, it is a team loss, and we can nitpick on guys, but, you know, none of that stuff matters because the Knicks just took advantage of it in the last round.
I think if you look on paper, actually, Monday morning quarterback, like the Knicks match up, at least we knew the starting five of the Knicks could match up with the Celtics. It's just Celtics have more depth, but then that depth sort of followed up. The Knicks, I mean, Kat's way better than Miles Turner. Jalen Brunson's way better than anybody on the court. I mean, they are more talented from 1 to 5. I just think that the Pacers have so much more depth, right? So why was Kat limping at the end of the game? I don't even know. And Brunson looks like he's always worn down because he's doing so much. I just think that the lack of depth is going to catch up to him. So the Knicks got to strike now. If they don't win game two, they're in big trouble. Because they're the better team. They just can't get into a marathon here with a deeper team.
I'm curious where the, from the Indiana fans now, where's the hope factor? Because you guys have been able to do this. You're underdogs in the series, but this is a statement. And then obviously from our resident Knicks fans here, how you feeling? EJ, I don't mean to rub salt in the wound on this one, but this thought did cross my mind. Should I tell you now or should I wait?
No, let's do it.
What was a tougher moment? The Halliburton thought we was a three, ends up being a two, goes in, jaw on the floor, dropping, and then obviously go to overtime and lose. Or when Rodgers popped the Achilles four plays in.
This was worse.
Oh, my God.
This was worse. Not even, I don't think it's close to me. The Rodgers thing was terrible, but, like, we didn't know what we had still. I watched the Knicks pummel the Pacers for 46 minutes.
Right.
So I know the Knicks can beat this team. And then you saw them throw away a crucial game. Like, game ones are just crucial in the NBA playoffs. And you wonder if you just blew your shot at a title. With Rodgers, it was game one of the team. It was terrible, but it also didn't seem out of the realm of possibilities. A 40-year-old guy trying to play football.
Sure.
This thing kind of happened. So this was the worst loss I've ever experienced as a fan. Hmm. I did not sleep last night.
I've never
experienced this. Like, what Halliburton did to my
body. You're stunned.
What Halliburton did to my body, I can't even describe.
I don't mean to laugh. I'm sorry.
No, I'm being real. Like, that was, I was only three when Reggie had the choke sign and the 8 seconds.
Also a game one.
8 points in 3 seconds and, you know, 8 points in six seconds.
This crap is crap.
I was too young.
8 points, 9 seconds.
I was too young for that. So I don't know.
Yeah, 1990.
This was
sleep explained win a title. You understand? You're assuming some kind of weird injury to SGA. Like, both those.
If you go to the NBA Finals, you have a chance to win a title.
No, you don't.
Don't listen to Perloff.
No, you don't. Yeah, did the Nets have a shot when they went against Shaq?
They're
and Kobe?
Not going to Shaq and Kobe.
Did Dwight Howard have
a
shot?
Shaq and Kobe playing for the.
There's
OKC
no
Thunder?
Way. These teams are. First of all, they're going to wear each other into the ground. They were going to wear each other in the ground, then Oklahoma City is going to run all over them, I think.
Okay, well, that's for another day.
Shaq and Kobe ain't walking through that door anyway.
I'm with EJ on that one. It's that there's not the Thunder had a really dominant season.
Then. Get in the bet. Take the Eastern Conference team because the Thunder are watching last night.
I had to convince you all season that the Thunder and OKC it was serious and Shea was serious and you didn't believe me. Now you're saying that Shaq and Kobe? Come on.
They had the. I mean, no. I just think the Pacers Knicks is a very weak conference finals historically.
Well,
I saw TJ McConnell in key moments on the court. The Pacers are not a great team by any stretch of the imagination.
So why the Knicks should have killed them, which they were, again, for 46 minutes.
Well, let's leave it on what happened last night, because we got a long way to go here. I do agree with you. I think these two teams are going to beat each other up. There were moments last night where you just had straight up bodies on the floor. I mean, it's been Eastern Conference has been really, really chippy. A lot of series have. Let's keep it on this before writing death certificates for everyone who plays against OKC. Because, by the way, OKC's still got to get past Minnesota. And I'm not sure that Minnesota is that we're not going to hear from them at some point.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was a great game, but it was ultimately a JV. It's a JV tournament in the East. But you saw it last night. Like, the fact that what happened last night to me does linger. I'm like, God, I mean, either of these, I don't know who's good after last night. That's a fight they like. The Pacers, Aaron Nesmith's not going to hit. You can break down the Knicks failures all you want. Aaron Nesmith's not going to hit 8 and 9 threes ever again for the rest of his entire life.
They just needed it
that one time.
He has shot the ball very well in these postseason. That's the one thing I'll disagree with.
8 and 9? Oh, okay.
When did I say that he shot 8 for 9? I said he shot very well this postseason, which is true. He's a very good shooter.
That was the most shocking performance probably in the history of the NBA.
No, of course. But my point is, as the Knicks, like, the guy, that's the only thing he can do. He can't drive. He can't dribble. He plays defense. He fouls and he shoots threes. So I don't know. I don't know how. Again, OG Anunoby and Josh Hart and Brunson just lost the scouting report.
Yeah, there's no rhyme.
That's why I said Thibodeau deserves to be blamed.
But that's
too.
The player.
No, see, I totally disagree. I think there's no rhyme or reason to this.
Mm.
I don't think there's any. No, you can't blame Thibodeau. Nobody would see what happened last night coming.
Well, how about in the moment? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, so you're welcome to weigh in on what we saw last night. If you guys are watching on the stream, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet and twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, Manny, you might not even get this reference. South Park is still on. Manny looks like Kenny. He's not saying anything. He's
nonverbal as well, just like Kenny.
He's wearing a hood up like that. I'm worried an anvil's going to fall on your head.
Well, don't tempt me with a good time.
They killed Kenny. 888-710-4ISN. Series over? It's game one.
Yeah, which way? We mean the Pacers?
I don't think it's over. I don't think it's over.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree. Like, the Knicks are the better team. Will they wear down?
All right. Catching our breath here after what was an insane game last night. Got a couple nitpicks. Also on last night's performance. get to that in a moment. You are welcome to weigh in. An all-time moment at the NFL owners meetings. I didn't even know these older guys could be this entertaining. But NFL owners, who I think are a wild bunch, we've got details because the tush push lives.
Come on, man.
Perfectly said. Also, we've got Belichick news for you. So much to do. It's the Maggie Perloff Show.
What?
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I'm in shock after last night's game. There are so many angles. My take is you can't blame anyone. That was just sometimes basketballs bounce in funny ways. But I honestly don't understand. If you try to explain to somebody that Jalen Brunson blew the game or was bad defense on Aaron Nesmith, okay, I understand what you're saying, but it's still like, come on. Aaron Nesmith jumping 4 feet in the air, 40 feet from the basket and swishing a three. That's not a thing that happens. This was the craziest, most unexplainable game I remember. Okay. I'm being serious. I can't remember a game that made less sense than what happened last night.
And obviously that is a Pacers overtime win, 138-135, when the Knicks were up 14 with 2:50 left to go in regulation. So it was a Knicks choke job. It was an incredible comeback from Indiana. You know, this has been the Pacers' thing, though. Not Nesmith going 8 for 9, but hitting 6 threes in the final 3 minutes of the game. I'll give you that. We were in the upside down. But this has been the Pacers' thing.
It's also the Knicks' thing, though, too.
And it's been the Knicks' thing. So that's why I'm asking you, the Knicks were the ones who were the comeback kings, right? They were the ones who were putting the Celtics on their heels, you know, erasing 20-point deficits in back-to-back games and others.
Yeah.
How do the Knicks respond when they're not the team that pulled the rug out from someone? They got the rug pulled out from them.
I mean, for example, a little critical of Jalen Brunson, how many points did he score with 2:50 left in regulation? He might have had 12 more points in that game. I mean, he was
in foul trouble.
He scored 43 points. I'm saying the last 3 minutes of regulation to overtime, he scored a ton of points, had 43 points in the game, and that's who you're blaming on just 25 shots? He cooked the Pacers. They have no answer for him, and they still lost the game.
I am saying that two turnovers in a tough spot for Jalen Brunson, yeah, is he's the reason they're going to win or lose. And he had 6 points in the overtime. He had 10 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
in only 6 minutes because he was on the bench for a significant part of it because they thought they had it too.
Yeah. EJ and I were just joking in the break. So I think we brought up the Pacers went with a strange rotation choice. They put Ben Shepherd, a young player, in for defense, and he proceeded to get destroyed on every single play. But he kept him in there. And Reggie Miller, the broadcaster, said, oh, did Carlisle forget he's in there? Like, I was like, is Carlisle going senile? Get that young kid off the court. He doesn't belong. But EJ's theory, what, that Carlisle was already giving up and going to his bench and saving minutes?
Well, no, I think that because there were some guys on that bench, and the Pacers, they got outplayed by the Knicks bench. So I think he thought, you know what, I may need Ben Shepherd in this series. He had not played much in the last series. He played a lot against Knicks last year. Yeah. I think he was like, let him get these minutes now because I'm going to probably be playing him in the rotation at some point later in the series. They were down by double digits. It didn't look like they were going to come back. Yeah. So I think that's why he gave him those minutes. And he wanted to give a Brunson a different look because Brunson was killing everybody else.
The Pacers could have put their backups in because it was a double-digit lead with 2 minutes left. They could have just emptied the bench, but they won.
The Knicks had Jalen Brunson on the bench and went on a 10-0 run.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
It's a weird game. It was a weird game, and it's one that's going to sting big time for the Knicks for sure. We'll see how they regroup. That's game two on Friday.
I mean, Haliburton gave the choke sign and then didn't win. That could have been an all-time NBA mistake, like one of the greatest mistakes in NBA history, and instead it worked out just fine.
It's amazing. So that was going to be one of my nitpicks, and Chris Lopresti is in with us today for Andrew Bogish, and we're all just kind of smiling about this. Haliburton hits the celly too early. That's what he said, right? Yeah. He hit the celebration. He said people had been telling him to do the choke sign, and he hits what he thinks is a game winner. He's not wrong. It would have been the perfect moment. But his foot was on the line. Mm. his toe was on the line. So they got to go to overtime. You're right, bro. That could have been, now it's going to be kind of forgotten, I think.
That could have been like,
it could have been an all-time embarrassing celebrating too early.
Do you remember, I think it was Kentucky and LSU, where they dumped Gatorade on the coach who ended up losing the game eventually. Like, that was dumping Gatorade on the losing coach. That was terrible. I mean, we had a debate, by the way, and I want to get into it later. Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Who is Tyrese Albert? Is he a professional? I heard him described as a heel many times.
Well, he and Brunson, not just the history that goes back to last year's playoffs, but then they met in like a WWE-type thing that happened at the Garden, right?
Yep.
Yes.
And Albert's the bad guy?
Yep.
Well, when you're in the Garden, he's the bad guy.
He's with Logan Paul, so that definitely makes him the bad guy.
Yeah, and as we know about his dad, too. Like, we know where he gets it from.
He's still banned, I think. Yeah. Indefinitely banned, Mr. Halliburton.
Yeah, he has not showed up yet.
To be honest, though, probably better off. His son has been on this all-time tear, and now is it a superstition thing?
Yeah, no, he should stay away. You're absolutely right.
CeeLo has the latest for us. How you doing? These guys are hard up over here. You're a Knick fan, too.
Yeah, I mean, in
place
shock.
Place is crawling with them.
In shock, yeah. Didn't get a lot of sleep. No
what
shock. No shock there. I was thinking, throw the game on, drift off, you know, comfortable lead. My wife was like, the Knicks again. And I was like, well, she goes, all right, there's not that much time left. I'm like, it's 10 minutes in the fourth quarter. That's an eternity.
Oh, yeah, you got an hour and a half after that.
It was
that.
A two-point game at that point. I'm like, it's a tight game, you know. Like, unless it's a blowout, it's going to, you know, it'll take a while. And sure enough, then the Knicks went on that, 14-0 run. And I said, look at that. Look how quick that was. She's half paying attention. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know, it's a two-point game again. And then all hell broke
loose. Next thing you know, Tyrese Halliburton is letting loose from the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. All right, we've got a riddle sponsored by Progressive Insurance. What do your home and auto have in common? Progressive protects them both. It was an easy riddle. Learn more at progressive.com. As you guys said, so many layers to another epic comeback for the Pacers, this time shocking the Knicks here. Game one of the East Finals at the Garden, including the bounce of all bounces.
Two-point game, 6 seconds to go. Halliburton driving. He's in the lane. He nearly lost it. He backs up and unloads a three.
Did not happen. It hit the back of the rim. It popped high into the air, and it dropped gently through the net.
I feel like it didn't even touch the net. Watching it at home, and it was incredible. Well described by Mark Boyle on Pacers Radio. Turned out it was a two, as Halliburton's foot was on the line, but for the moment, it felt like the game was over. He hit the choke celebration and everything directed right at Spike Lee. Thankfully for Halliburton, the Pacers finish off the comeback in overtime, winning a wild one, 138-135. Afterwards, a sense of relief for Halliburton with the choke when the game actually wasn't over.
Everybody's been wanting me to do it. I was going to hold it for the right time. That felt appropriate. And then, it went to overtime. So, well, we're going to save it for later.
I was on the court with TNT.
Can't do it again.
And, you know, it's interesting because he said maybe save it for later. But later on in the postgame press conference, he, I think, basically said that was the one shot. So.
No, you can't do it again.
Yeah.
Reggie didn't do it twice.
Right.
And he didn't have a reason to. But
yes,
that was a one and doneer.
It was. So we'll see what happens the rest
definitely
of the way.
He definitely thought it was a three. The entire country thought it was a three.
Sure. Their whole bench thought
it was a three. And then when that moment, wait, I think it's a two. That was dramatic.
And they quickly had it on the scoreboard.
Yeah, they got it immediately on the scoreboard.
Did a good job.
By the way, the only time they had a review quick last night.
Yeah.
I mean, get out of here with these 5-minute reviews. I'm dying.
Mm-hmm. It's been the story of the playoffs.
I also want to say, too, and I'm not here to bang on the refs, but on that comeback, it seemed like every single review or call was going to the Pacers. They all were razor close.
Yeah, I mean, if that...
It was a 5-minute review on the Pascal Siakam.
They were trying to just give him the ball back on that Pascal Siakam play. Because are you waiting 5 minutes? Like, he's clearly grabbing his jersey and hits his arm. So you're going to give him the ball back.
It was incidental.
Yeah, it's like, all right, you guys really want them to get the ball back here, which, okay, whatever.
But that doesn't square with a lot of our conspiracy theories about the NBA, of which we have a million.
No, I think the refs are just incompetent.
I mean, that play could, if that gone the other way, that particular play with 29 seconds, the game's over.
Totally.
Yeah.
I agree.
It was a razor's edge on that.
It gave the Pacers possession, and they were obviously on a heater at that point. But the theory generally is that the NBA wants the big market team in.
Yeah.
This is what Rick Carlisle said last year.
Which
about
explains the Spurs and Cavs dynasties. Can't explain all of them or any of them. They haven't had, they had the Lakers in the bubble, and that's about it.
Well, the Lakers got gifted Luka Doncic, so, you know, they're trying. They can't actually go out on the court and swat a shot away.
Yeah, the Bucks-Suns finals, I don't really know if they had that. But the funny thing is, both teams foul on every play. I mean, Brunson's using his off arm like a hammer, and there was so much contact at the end of the game, If the officials call that tighter, I think the Pacers lose again. I mean, they were letting them arm wrestle.
Yeah. I mean, Barnes got called for a charge where, again, Neesmith hit him in the face. Then they both fall, and they called the charge, and they upheld the charge. I mean, there were so many calls where, again, these are razor-edge calls, and it seemed like they all went to the Pacers. They're close. I'm not here to say, Knicks got screwed. They did get screwed on a goaltend. I mean, yep. I think you can look at him.
Yeah,
you look at the guy's, if you look at the guy's foot and look at Haliburton and say, oh, you know what? His foot was on the line. You should be able to say, okay, the ball hit the backboard. I don't know.
But they didn't call it, so they can't review it.
Right, but that to me seems flimsy. Because they could also, there's threes where you can just say, oh, we're going to review it, and they do the whole hand signal on the next dead ball. I don't know why you can't do that for a goaltend.
Should be like Belichick, review everything.
There's a play where
quickly.
Where Mr. Robinson got a rebound offensive, and the Pacer guy just pushed him with both hands out of bounds, just like a football play.
Yeah.
And the officials are like, we've just called too many penalties. We got to keep going. I know that was a foul, but they're like, we're not going to finish this game before midnight Eastern if we keep calling everything. It was Seahawks style. It was Legion of Boom style, like the Thunder.
It's Cam Chancellor out there.
Yeah, have you heard this theory that the Oklahoma City Thunder are like the Legion of Boom, where if you foul on every play, the officials just wear down and stop calling it?
Right.
That happened last night, clearly. I mean, by the end, they were just like, I'm just going to punch Brunson in the ribs about 16 times a play. It really got so physical. That helped the Pacers, I think.
Poor Mitchell Robinson, some friendly fire, too, and that Obi Toppin dunk late when Bridges clearly fouled him. It could have been an N1, and one didn't. And Robinson caught, I don't know if it was an elbow or like right in the throat from his own teammate. He's like,
oh, yeah, Brunson got in the throat, too.
Yeah. And he kind of like let the ball go.
He had to give the ball up.
But it's like a Bruce Lee move by Smith.
Judy chop.
But seriously, I mean, that was crazy because Obi Toppin is incapable of hitting a layup.
Yeah.
He must dunk everything.
He missed a dunk.
He missed a dunk. Yeah, that was early on, yeah.
And that dunk was a clutch double. What was that dunk? It was
like
he
Dominic
double
Wilkins,
clutched in air like Michael Jordan or something. Like, where did that come from? Yeah.
The one guy who didn't miss last night, Aaron Neesmith, 8 of 9 from 3, including 6 down the stretch as the Pacers erased the 17-point deficit, 14 across the final 2:59 in the final minute. Here was Neesmith and what it feels like to be that hot.
It's unreal. It's probably the best feeling in the world for me, because I love it. Like, when that basket feels like an ocean and anything you toss up, you feel like it's going to go in. It's just so much fun.
That was like NBA Jam, Sega Genesis-esque, where the net was
on
fire, and no matter where you threw it up from, it went in. I mean, that was unbelievable. On the other side, massive collapse for the Knicks on their home floor. Here's Josh Hart.
We didn't close the game out. I feel like our intensity dropped. We started playing slower, playing more into their hands. So, we let that one slip.
It's been said quite a bit.
Diagnosed the problem.
Yeah, in the New York area, at least, Knicks have never won a playoff series when they dropped Game 1 at home, so they will need to overcome that with Game 2 on the way tomorrow night. Game 2 of the West Finals tonight, Oklahoma City, and in between a series-opening win over the Timberwolves, Thunder guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander named league MVP for the first time.
You try so hard throughout the season to like not think about it and just worry about playing basketball and getting better and trying to win games. But as a competitor and as a kid dreaming about the game, it's always in the back of your mind.
And he said he was motivated after finishing as the runner-up to Nikola Jokic last year, beat him in Game 7 over the weekend, and now finishes ahead of him in the MVP vote. Stanley Cup playoffs, Western Conference Final Game 1. The Edmonton Oilers took a 3-1 lead into the third period in Dallas, but it would not hold.
Duchesne, left wing side for Haskinen. Right side shot! Just wide of the net. Kept alive. Duchesne, second effort. He scores! It is raining power play goals at American Airlines Center, and Dallas has taken the lead 4-3.
Stars Radio 3 power play tallies in a span of about 5.5 minutes. How about 5 unanswered in the third period for a 6-3 Stars victory to take the series opener there. Tonight, Game 2 between the Panthers and the Hurricanes, with the defending champion Panthers going for a 2-0 series lead on the road. NFL, did you guys, were you still on the air when the Tush Push vote came through yesterday?
We were
not.
So we were on the air when Diane Orsini and others were saying, ding dong, the Tush Push is dead.
Right.
And then it flipped
it
after
sure
Jeffrey Lurie made an impassioned speech.
Yes, which apparently included a crude analogy, which he was later chastised for. So I don't know if you want to get into that at all.
Oh, definitely.
We are going to, yeah.
Do we want to get into that?
Right. Well, he got up there, said what he had to say, which included likening people trying to get the push banned to a wet dream for a teenage boy. So that didn't necessarily go over well?
We're going to pull you aside and chastise you. Yeah. For saying.
You don't you realize there's a woman in the room?
There's a woman in the room, which is bizarre. Like.
Which is funny because like, I was the one who put it on the rundown. No, Troy Vincent, I think, was who's like whatever he is.
Vice president. VP. Yeah, right. He got after him.
How dare you? There's women in the room. I just want to be like, Troy, respectfully, the women who got all the way to that room have heard much worse.
They will stab you in the eye for a dollar, the women in that room. Like, they do not, those are, the people in that room are callous.
They're just not, I don't think the women in the room are dumb enough to say something like that in such a large group.
You know, he's my guy, Jeffrey Lurie, so I can't say anything ill about him. I don't know if he's dumb. It worked.
Well, here's the thing. You're talking for 30 minutes. Okay. Some say 40, some say an hour. He's up there basically filibustering. I'm sure he just lost the plot at some point. Like, he's just blah.
Off script.
It worked. They were like, oh, my God, just make him shut up. We'll let you keep the play. Keep the play.
Yeah, you're talking about how the OKC Thunder foul all the time to wear down the referees. This is like what Lurie
did. Attrition.
This is a pure Congress-like filibuster.
Yep.
Mr. Smith goes to Washington.
And then you bring in the likable Jason Kelsey to finish it. It's a cleanup hitter.
Yeah,
boom.
Because he's not compromised in any way. There's no bias there. He's like, I'd come back if we could run the tush push 60 times in a row. Not what he was saying post-game. And ESPN, Amazon, anytime they talk to him after the game, he'd be like, I'm worn out.
Yeah, but you say he was not. What did you think? Jason Kelsey was an unbiased observer here? Of course he's compromised.
How did he sway people? Like, oh, well,
you might as well have that Eagles guy with the mohawk. You know that guy?
We took a picture with that guy.
Yeah. He might as well have been speaking. Jason Kelsey is an Eagle for life.
It's like, let's bring Bradley Cooper in to see what he has to say about the tush push.
Well, 22-10 in favor of banning it, but still a couple of votes shy, 2 to be exact, of the 75% needed. Interesting to me that the Lions were one of the teams that voted to keep it. The only one of 14 teams on the Eagles' schedule for this season that voted to keep it in place. So they did not let their own personal situation for 2025 get in the way, which is kind of interesting. They also withdrew their playoff reseeding proposal. Sounds like they're going to kick that down the road to when the season eventually expands to 18 games. Your Bills will be on training camp Hard Knocks, Maggie, and then the NFC East will do the in-season Hard Knocks, which sucks for the Giants because they have to be stuck with being on Hard Knocks yet again. Joe Shane?
At least it's not off-season where they tried to prove how smart they were and revealed they may be one of the dumbest teams in the league. This is better.
Yeah. Well, this, the one thing is... Yes. I've never met a person or talked to a person who's ever watched 1 second of an in-season Hard Knocks ever in the history of the show. Yeah. So
we all saw those John Mara comments last year. That's for sure. Everyone's seen that by now.
Which comments?
If we lose Saquon Barkley to the Eagles, I'll be very upset.
Right, that was the off-season Hard Knocks.
The in-season.
No, like once in a while, you'll see a tweet from the Bengals last year or something. That is a non-watch show. Well, I'm being dead serious.
I tried last year.
What I will say though is this may be the first time in Hard Knocks history that we see the beginning of the end of a tenure and the end of the end of a tenure. Because we saw the beginning of the end last year in the offseason Hard Knocks.
For the Giants,
And this could be, you know, the Giants are 4-10. We're watching them play out the string. This is the last games of Shane.
Four wins.
Shane and what's the name? Daboll for the rest of their careers. It'll be the first time that's ever happened.
Manny's taking the under on the four
wins. Where
the
hell did you get four wins from?
trying to help you out with here, Manny. It's a rough morning for you.
Don't worry. It's the Jackson Dart Air.
I will be at some point. You did also lastly have the passing of Colts owner Jim Irsay at the age of 65. As they say, he passed away peacefully in his sleep yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, interesting for the city of Indianapolis. You know, you get this news, Irsay, who's been such a mainstay there, and the family moving the team from Baltimore to Indy and the Colts, and he's such a figure in Indy in so many ways. The owner of the team, the philanthropy, some of the embarrassing headlines that came out with his substance abuse issues over the years. And then to have the Pacers have this unbelievable moment, it felt like Indiana was front and center last night.
Very true. Very true.
Okay, quickly, thank you, CeeLo. We will take a quick break. We've got more than just Knicks Pacers, but if you want to talk about that, let's do it. 888-710-4ISN. We've got more NFL for you. CeeLo went through some of it. Tush Push gets saved. And by the way, more details coming out about what could have been with the 49ers and Brock Purdy. They were trying to trade this dude? What? We'll get to that next.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. and we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Speaking of whiskey, Titan Maniac was in our YouTube chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Has Manny spoke at all, or is Jack Daniels kicking him in the head right now? Manny has not spoken.
I'll drink an ounce of that right now.
Technically Jack Daniels bourbon, but you know, same thing.
I love whiskey.
Tough day for the Knicks fans. Jaw-dropping moment last night in the Pacers-Knicks game one. Tyrese Halliburton, after a barrage of threes from Aaron Nesmith, of all people, got the Pacers back into the game. Tyrese Halliburton hit what they thought was a game-winning three-pointer, hit the back of the iron, goes up not just above the backboard, up above the shot clock, back down through the hoop. Foot was on the line. It was a two-pointer, but Pacers still win in OT.
Yeah. Again, my take is going to be consistent. Don't apply logic to what happened last night. It's called basketball gods. Maybe Jim Irsay, the unfortunately deceased Colts owner, guided it from heaven. I don't know.
His last tweet was saying good luck to the Pacers.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel like any way to make sense of this. Like looking at, oh, the Knicks should have done this on defense or offense. The ball bounced 15 feet in the air and went through the rim cleanly. I mean, through the net cleanly.
But why would this Knicks team get punished by the basketball gods? See, they're not wearing the stink. Now, I did think of one thing that did cross my mind yesterday. Now, the Knicks have made a really big deal about bringing back the legends of Knicks history, which you love to see. I mean, I think every team, like when your Eagles do that, obviously, you know, Dr. J is in the house.
Yeah, of course.
Love that kind of stuff. I think universally as fans, we love it. It's gotten the circle's gotten a little wide, I would say, though.
That's where the basketball gods are mad? What do you mean?
This is just what Ewing, Starks, obviously, like the Bernard Kings and the LJs and these guys that are remember. Well, Bernard King didn't really, but these guys are positive memories mostly, right? Knicks nostalgia. Stephon Marbury is not.
Oh, come on.
Stephon Marbury is a New York legend.
Starbury? Get out of here.
He's a New York legend. You don't want to go back over the era of Marbury at the Garden. That actually is not, I'm glad that he's either patched things up, or I don't know if things ever even got bad, quite frankly. But he and Isaiah Thomas together in that building was not a good marriage.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to go to Knicks games, so I don't know if I'm going to let you go get into that again.
I'm just saying that the circle got a little wide. And I've interviewed Steph, and I like him, and he's a good interview, and he's been around for a while. So it's not like he just showed up yesterday, and now all of a sudden it's like, all right, let's rehash everything that happened in the Garden.
It's funny, Maggie, because I feel like you should embrace this more than anybody, because the thing about being a Knicks is you embrace all of it. You embrace the good with the bad. It's why you have them celebrating after winning game two of the first round.
I watched Travis Ware, Maggie.
Yeah, like so the idea is that, like, Steph, yes, there were a lot of issues and there were a lot of problems, no question.
It was embarrassing.
It was terrible.
It was a dark era.
But he is a New York legend. He is important to the city. And I think in some ways it's almost cathartic to be like, you know what, even Steph is welcome back. He tried to win. He just didn't know how. He wasn't good enough to win, but he wasn't like he didn't try. So I think that's part of like the reason why you're like, you know what? Yeah, why not? Bring him in.
Are you sure?
You just
Steph
don't want your
trying?
Guys. It was
of course.
He
didn't know. I mean, he didn't know how to win. He was that's the story of his career.
I think his effort was subpar as a Knick, to be honest.
Effort?
Yes.
I don't know about that. I know that you don't want to be rehashing a time when he was like, you know, had to give statements in courtrooms and things like that.
Yeah, I don't think that dude was a grinder. I really don't. Like,
there was so much excitement when he came to New York, and it was like, I remember it was an ESPN, the magazine articles, two six-foot guards are running the Garden now. Isaiah Thomas, Stephon Marbury.
To the playoffs for sure.
And it just really fell apart from there. But anyway, I'm not saying that's not why I'm saying the sports gods would be against the Knicks. I'm just saying the circle's getting a little wide. And
I think the celebrities were awesome, though. They had Larry David and Susie Essman from Curb Your Enthusiasm in the front row in every shot. The gods must have liked that.
John Hamm's a Knicks fan?
That seemed a little new.
And he also basically was playing defense on the sideline. He took a ball away from Tyrese Halliburton at one point.
I thought Halliburton overreacted there. The ball was going right to him. What's he supposed to do?
It seemed like it was going out of bounds, but he should have the right to try to save it. But that was just like a funny aside.
No, I think the Knicks got. I have a theory on what they were punishing. Basketball. I don't know. I think at the end of the day, foul merchanting, not their thing. I mean, Brunson was getting the line a lot there at the end.
Yeah, but Shea won game one, so I also think, the basketball gods can't be.
To compare Brunson to Shea, I think he was not doing what Shea was doing last night. Like, that was not the same.
He gets a guy on his back, and he's trying to draw a foul. I mean, it's just a thing that they do, and they're amazing at it. It takes a lot of skill. But how many times did he get the line? 14 last night?
But he wasn't flopping. He was taking real contact.
No, foul merchanting has nothing to do with flopping. It means you are designing a play to get the defender uncomfortable and force him to foul you. And they did, because he's incredible. Anyway,
12 of 14 for the line from Brunson,
and it was a lot late. I mean, the Pacers had no choice but to foul him, because otherwise he just scored. He was great.
I mean, Knicks took 40 free throws last night, 40 free throw attempts to the Pacers 28. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We will get to Brock Purdy. I thought this was fascinating detail that came out before his contract put pen to paper. Also, why did he sign his contract with a feather pen? I get hung up on the little things.